gamers, this is no longer simply Travis. I've gone on a quest in search of a new name, one that is no longer as simple. I shall now, from this day forward, be called Lame Travis. Anyway, oh yeah, and this is the Lamer Gamers Podcast. We don't have Rowdy 5000 today, but he is in here in spirit, or at least I have a bunch of text messages with his input that I'll read throughout the show. In today's episode, I'm going to talk about the latest Nintendo news, sort of, and then we're going to jump into the 2020 console wars between the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series consoles. I'll let you know where to get one of these magnificent beasts that probably won't fit into your entertainment center if you haven't already pre-ordered, then give you the latest good and bad news about these boxes of power. Then I'll take a quick break and announce the Lamer of the Week, along with a visit from our old friend, Lame Stradamus, upon special request from our friend James at More Than a Podcast. Now, let's prepare a bag with all the essentials we need for survival, a quest even, such as a canteen of water, canned food, MREs, a multi-tool, Swiss Army knife, bear mace, and our Nintendo Switch, because it's time to brave the cold, dark wind as we wait in line for a new console. Oh, wait. I've received a transmission from my trusty radio.
What? What's that? Seriously? Seriously? Seriously. Okay.
Apparently, standing in line for the new console is no longer allowed. Alright, I guess I'll go back to pressing F5 while recording the next episode of the Lamer Gamers Podcast. Rowdy, cue the music! Before we get started pressing the start button on the news, if you like what we're doing, don't forget to press up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, start, then like and subscribe on your current podcasting provider. Oh, and share this podcast with a friend. We don't got no budget for advertising, so we would be much obliged if you could annoy your friends by sharing the show. All right, guys, let's start out with the Nintendo news. Nintendo is, they're making, like, all the money, and that's really about it. In general, gaming sales have been fantastic, somewhat due to COVID forcing people to stay inside. There's really not a lot of major news stories to go over. We're going to go over some more stuff next week, because there are quite a few games that have been announced, but they're really available for a lot of other systems, so we'll try to get a list for you in another podcast soon, because that's not really where the news is this week. They're not releasing anything worth talking about because, well, there's new consoles this week. We get to buy fancy new things. So let's start up with the PlayStation 5. Well, what if you did not get a PlayStation 5? Because as you heard with our podcast in the past, that the PlayStation 5 was announced, but then they pre-released early, and a lot of people didn't know. It was kind of nice because scalpers weren't involved as much, but a lot of people were left in the cold. Well, where can you find a PlayStation 5 on launch day? Right off the bat, you can get them on November 12th, but there's a catch. Well, you can't really get them. That is the catch. Can't get them on the store on launch day, at least. Now, this is what Sid Schumann, the senior director of SIE Content Communications, posted in the official PlayStation blog. He says, "Hi all, the launch of the PlayStation 5 console on November 12th, or November 19th, depending on your region, is almost upon us. In the interest of keeping our gamers, retailers, and staff safe amidst COVID-19, today we're confirming that all day of launch sales will be conducted through the online stores of our retail partners." So basically, you ain't getting one at the store. You gotta order one. He continues saying, "No units will be available in store for purchase on launch day. Please don't plan on camping out. lame, or lining up at your local retailer on launch day in hopes of finding a PS5 console for purchase. Be safe. Stay home and place your order online. Now, I'm going to give you some basic ideas of the places where you can order these. Now, I can't confirm this, but I have heard that GameStop might be doing in-person. But that was a couple weeks ago. They might have changed their tune by now. I don't know. Well, where the heck do you order these things? Well, the only store with an actual date and time set in stone is Walmart. They will release their PlayStation 5 stock in multiple waves on November 12th. So these are all Eastern time, by the way. They're going to announce them at 12. They're going to drop them at 12 p.m., 3 p.m., 6 p.m., and 9 p.m. Expect to fight a ton of scalpers and press the F5 button. Now, that's the main one. There are some other stores that have said they're going to open stock, like Target. It is confirmed they're going to have the PlayStation 5 PlayStation 5 available to purchase online November 12th, but no times have been like targeted yet. Did you get the pun? Now, Best Buy has also confirmed that it will no longer have PS5 stores at all in store for the entire year of 2020, but Best Buy will have them online. So, that's kind of where you can find them. It's just kind of a quick one. They're going to have them available in more places. Amazon, Newegg, all these other places will probably have some extras on launch day, but it hasn't been confirmed. So, you know, just keep your eyes out. If you're listening to this on Monday morning, you know, you might have a better idea by the afternoon. Otherwise, get ready to press F5. All right, next up, let's go over some news, some good news, some bad news about the PlayStation 5. And I am going to do this with the Xbox too. So don't, you know, I get rowdy. Rowdy keeps asking me, are we a PlayStation 5? Like, do we just hate it on our podcast? No, you're just not here to counter me, but I'm trying to counter myself. So, point counterpoint here. Good news. People love the PS5. There are some absolutely glowing reviews being posted about the PS5. In fact, the controller reviews have been, I can't even tell you what people are comparing them to. It's apparently that good. Because this is trying to be like a safe show for work. It's really funny what people will write online with a straight face. So the controller is apparently fantastic. The haptic feedback is very good. From what I'm understanding, the time that the controller has battery is longer than the PlayStation 4. I'm hearing it's about 8 hours. So not quite in the realm of the Nintendo Pro controller. The Switch Pro controller has like a never dies life. I think it's 30 hours, but it does feel very much like the haptic feedback you get from the HD Rumble with the Switch. Not Pro Controllers, Joy-Cons. Because the Joy-Cons, honestly, there's quite a bit more to it than the Pro Controller. Also, the little clicky trigger buttons, they have some interesting force feedback that a lot of people are really enjoying. Next thing, gameplay on some of their stuff looks great. They have the first-party game. Spider-Man is apparently fantastic. Now, I am seeing some Metacritic ones dropping in the 8s. Like mid-8s, that's still a fantastic game. Also, backwards compatible games. This is something we have not heard much about. Because Xbox, that's pretty much all they've talked about lately. Like, hey, we can play old games. We can play them really good. And they look better, yeah. Well, you can. Apparently, the games actually are really good on the PlayStation 5. There have been, I haven't seen any reports of a game that would not work. So it sounds like a lot of the concerns we had are being pushed to the side, at least for PlayStation 4 games. Now, one thing that is a positive that people didn't realize, the games are actually a little more stable than the ones that the backwards compatibility games on Xbox Series X. Now, there is a reason for this, though. Most of these games that are, you know, like Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, which Rowdy hates with a passion, or Assassin's Creed Odyssey, these games tended to use, they were coded for the PlayStation 4, and most of them didn't use native 4K. They used something called Checkerboard 4K, which kind of produced, it's almost not quite like Interlaced was back in the day where it was done in bands, but it is kind of like a checkerboard pattern gets provided each frame. So there's technically less being pushed on the screen at a time. Also, they're suggesting, though, one thing is, while the CPU is actually weaker on the PlayStation 5 than the Xbox Series X, they're allowing more access to CPU power than the Xbox normally does. So that might change in the future, but apparently the Xbox is only allowing a smaller amount of cores available. So, in general, lots and lots of fantastic news for PlayStation 5 fans. Apparently all the games that people have been playing, they're really enjoying. I have yet to really hear anything negative about it. I will say, though, I just lied. We got bad news. We got to say bad news. This is the good news, bad news section, right? Let's get to the bad news. Bad news. One, the PlayStation 5 will not do 1440p, also known as 2K. If you're planning on using it with a 2K monitor, because a lot of people game on 2K monitor. I mean, it's a good in-between between your 1080p monitors and your 4K ones. Not a lot of 2K, I don't think there's any 2K TVs, but monitor-wise, though, there are quite a few people that have them. I have a 1440p monitor that I use for graphic design. That's fantastic, but apparently IGN Italy found out that there is no native 1440p resolution availability. Now, they are reaching out to Sony to clarify it, but if you are playing on 1440p, what will probably happen is you'll get a 1080p image sent to your screen, and then it will upscale it, probably from the monitor itself. Now, to me, this is an interesting choice because the console can put out at 4K. It can put out at 8K. And to me, there's way less people that have an 8K TV than the people that have a 2K monitor. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me at this time. I know the Q90T, I think that one goes up to 8K from Samsung, but there's not a lot of TVs that are doing 8K at the moment. So it's just such a weird decision. So if you are planning on gaming on a 2K monitor, just hold back a little bit. Well, you're still going to buy it, right? Just be wary. Next up. The PlayStation 5, man, they were bragging about their special hard drive. Now, there's something in the world called hubris. Pride cometh before a fall. Now, I'm not saying this is really a fall so much. I'm not going to be that extreme. But it's not as fast as what the Xbox Series X is doing. Not for all games, though. For backwards compatible games. So if you're going to play, if you put an Xbox Series X and a PlayStation 5 next to each other and you ran the same games at the same time, it's actually a little bit slower on the PlayStation 5. So here are some examples. For instance, Destiny 2. It takes a minute and 12 seconds on the Xbox. On Destiny 2, it takes a minute 37 seconds. Final Fantasy 15, 43 seconds Xbox, 1 minute 10 seconds Final Fantasy, on PS5. Red Dead's really similar, but Monster Hunter World is a massive difference. 29 seconds for the Xbox, 51 seconds for PS5. Now, honestly, it still just improves things, but why would it be such a big difference? Well, you know, the PlayStation 5, they have a special thing built in to bypass the CPU loading these games for PlayStation 5 games. PlayStation 4 games tend to load the same old way that is reliant upon the CPU doing a good amount of the work. And it's simply comes down to the Xbox has a better CPU so it can load games quicker. That's really all that it is. And it's only going to really affect you for, you know, for your actual old school games, the backwards compatible games. There's not a lot to compare right now. I'm curious to see like what Assassin's Creed on the Series X compared to the PlayStation 5. Like, how do those run compared to each other? I haven't seen that. I don't think that's been released yet. But if you're looking to brag a little bit about how fast your old games work, well, it ain't happening. Another thing, the hard drive has some more bad news, or the system does. There is no way to add extra storage space to play your PS5 games at launch. Now, not PS4 games, though, because you can load an external hard drive and play a PS4 game, but the PS5 games, it won't let you play. Well, what about if you wanted to transfer that PS5 game to your external hard drive because you ran out of room on your internal NVMe, SSD, whatever letters you're going to throw at it? Too bad. You can't do that. For some reason, you can't move your PlayStation 5 games over to just sit there and wait. It would be a bit quicker. Now, I have heard, I guess I should have mentioned this in the good news, downloading games for the PlayStation 5 is way, way, way faster. Like significantly so. So it might not matter too much at the end if you have a good internet connection. If you have an internet connection that is not good, it's not going to be good for you. So just something to kind of think about, something to, you know, they are going to eventually announce some extra storage drives that will be able to go into the PlayStation 5. Like, you actually have to take off the side and insert it. It looks like an M2 slot, but there's nothing announced right now that works with it. So don't buy an external hard drive, or an internal hard drive technically, because there have been none, absolutely none, that have been announced for the PlayStation 5 that will work inside of it. So just be mindful of that. Next up, let's talk about the Xbox. Where can you find an Xbox Series X or S on launch day? Once again, Walmart has confirmed that you will be able to order both the X and the S on November 10th at 11 p.m. I think I have that wrong. Should be 11 a.m. Central Time. You know, right when I'm teaching a class. Thanks, Walmart. So, yeah, thanks. I'm not too thrilled about that, because that's why I couldn't order one the last time. So, they're giving the PlayStation 5 like four different times. Isn't that wonderful? Not the Xbox. Dumb. Anyway, hopefully, though, some of the other ones will, you know, allow me to order them. Target says it's going to have an online-only stock on November 10th, but no time's given. Best Buy still ain't saying nothing. They won't have them in stores, of course, this whole year. They've been really quiet about online sales, so I don't even know if they're going to have them there. And one more interesting one. Of course, Amazon and some of the other retailers are probably going to have things. I don't know. Newegg. It still says pre-order, and this is something that I've noticed. It says pre-order, but it appears to show that you can only purchase it now as part of a combo. I don't really know what that means, other than it's probably going to be expensive. So, if you're looking to buy one, and like I'm looking to get one from Newegg, personally, I got credit with them. I can get the 0% financing. You know, I couldn't get one through All Access because it just never seems to be available whenever I try to go there. So, That's where I'm looking at. Hopefully I can get one there. If not, I'll just drop the money down on the other ones. All right, let's get to good news, bad news on the Xbox. Good news. Well, I just kind of said this. Xbox games are actually loading faster than the PlayStation 5 games. And mentioned that it is basically the CPU is stronger in the Series X. However, I do think it's going to be interesting to see if Sony's hard drive architecture is just more like fancy advertising, like blast processing. So another thing that's interesting is the Xbox Series X hard drive loads so fast that it apparently breaks the Witcher 3 loading screen. Not breaking the game. You just never see the loading screen. There are also a whole bunch of games. The backwards compatibility has been fantastic. HDR, like the auto HDR, is working really well. There are some major spec bumps on a lot of games like Gears of War. Generally, everything runs fantastic on it. There's been a lot of talk about this lately. I know we've covered it in a recent episode, but that's the biggest thing. Now, there are also some Game Pass things, and I want to mention that in this next section, because bad news, there aren't any good exclusive games at launch for the Xbox. Myself, I'm going to be getting Assassin's Creed, but I bought it for the Xbox One because I have a One X. I'm going to play Valhalla until I get a Series X. Now, I did find this funny online. There's a satire account. It's the ex-CEO, Kaz Hirai, and he says, despite what some reports say, loading times on Xbox Series X are not faster than PS5. Our biggest launch exclusive only takes 15 seconds to load, whereas Xbox's biggest launch exclusive won't load for months. Oh! Burn! That's such a good one. But it's true. And you know, in the most professional way I can say this, it kind of sucks that there's nothing for me to really look forward to that is unique, really. Now, what is there? Game Pass and backwards compatibility. They are the stars of the show. But we really will have a few months until we can see the power of the console, you know, with games coded just for that system. If you look at what the PlayStation 5 first-party titles are putting out, they are fantastic because they're coding just for that system. You know, at the same time, third-party games are, of course, going to run a little bit better on the Xbox Series X than the PlayStation 5. Also, we get things like Elder Scrolls 6. You know, that's going to be a title on Game Pass. But, you know, that ain't right now, and I'm easily distracted, you know? Also, another thing they announced, though, day one, EA Play is coming to Game Pass, so that's kind of neat. It's also going to include Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order that first day. So if you're looking to just buy a console with a ton of games to play, it's, you know, it's still really a fantastic console to pick up. However, Sony really isn't too far in that department, too far behind in that department now with changes they've made to their subscriptions. They include a lot of first-party games that honestly look pretty enticing to someone like me that's never owned a PS5. You know, you can do their subscription and you can play all those PlayStation 4 games that I never played because I've never owned a PlayStation. So maybe if I'm just moseying into a Target or online and just traipsing across the F5 button, maybe I'll just come upon a PlayStation 5 and put it in my cart instead of an Xbox Series X. Who knows? I don't, because I honestly can play a lot of these Xbox games. And I plan on getting a PlayStation 5 at some point. So, I don't know, man. It's kind of bad news, really, for the Xbox. And, you know, I've been inside the you know, the Trojan horse of Xbox Game Pass has been in my house. It's fantastic. However, PlayStation 5 is using a lot of those same tactics. Maybe they'll manage their way into the fort of my house. All right, guys. So I am going to take a quick break, and we are going to be back with the Lamer of the Week topic, where we go over the lamest news item, and we're going to find our friend, Lame Stradamus. We'll be back here on the Lamer Gamers Podcast. Guys, before we get started talking about the Lamer of the Week and visiting our friend Lame Stradamus, if you like what we're doing here, drop on by our Twitter at LamerGamersCast and give us a follow. That way you can keep up with us lamers, because there is always something going on, like a hurricane, a tropical storm, another hurricane, snakes crawling in Travis's dishwasher, probably another hurricane in the Gulf that we're just kind of just checking to see if it's really going to come towards us. And I'm really tired of hurricanes. I don't want to lose electricity again. It's really lame, but random petrochemical plants exploding next to Rowdy's house. Oh, and you can join in the fun by making suggestions for the Lame of the Week award or bonus points. By the way, we will have bonus points next week. It was Rowdy's topic. I didn't want to do it myself. And it sounds like, I mean, y'all find some wood to knock on. I need some wood. You, like, cross your fingers, all that good stuff, that Rowdy will have a normal schedule soon. Because it sounds like we might be able to have a regular show every 2 weeks starting next week. So, let's go ahead for the Lamer of the Week. Now, I don't have any runners up. I gave you all the bad news for the Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5. We'll say that's the silver award this week. Well, we've talked enough about teraflops with all these new consoles. Let's talk about what the real flop is. Marvel's Avengers and Square Enix. Apparently, it has been reported that Square Enix has lost 6.5 billion yen, not dollars, for their games, and it's mostly because of Marvel's Avengers. This is according to David Gibson at Gibbo Game. He's an investor, I believe. But they would not say how many of these titles sold, but the volumes were 60% of the plan. This implies, now this is his original implication, that the game costs over 100 million, but they only sold about 3 million or so. Well, it actually looks like it cost more to 170 to 190 million, given their only expenses were 70% of the cost in the quarter, plus marketing costs. That's probably what got them, was marketing and the Marvel name. It's not cheap. It's just not good. So Square says they can make a recovery, but this is, when you're losing that much money, and I, you know, if I was a good podcaster, I would have done all the work to determine how much money 6.5 billion yen was to dollars. And I'm typing that into Google right now. 6.5 billion yen is equivalent to $62 million, almost $63 million. Yikes, dude. So, that is a massive loss in a year. That is like a company-breaking loss. Square Enix, man. Well, why did it flop this bad? Well, first up, this is going to be my thoughts and then what Rowdy was feverishly texting me. First up, Spider-Man exclusivity created a bad taste in the mouth of a lot of multi-platform gamers. And the concept of exclusivity with these characters at all, because if you're playing the Avengers, Spider-Man is a huge part of the Avengers past. And the fact that if you get it on the Xbox or PC or anywhere else, I don't think you can get it on the Switch. I'm pretty sure the Switch would catch on fire. But it didn't seem fair. People were not happy with that. Also, there was a focus on multiplayer, but there wasn't a good loop to getting cool stuff for playing multiplayer. You know, and there wasn't a reason to go back. Apparently the story was decent. Also, there were some rumors of new characters, but most likely they were like reskins of main characters. Now, here this is according to our Marvel's Avengers expert, Rowdy 5000. He sent me, he said, regarding the character reskins, War Machine is basically Iron Man. Winter Soldier is like Captain America. The surprising one that Spider-Man was going to control like Black Widow? Apparently, Spider-Man wasn't going to have very good vertical movement. They say he would move around like Black Widow when she uses her grappling hook. Yeah. Why? That just sounds lazy for a game that costs this much money. He also said that he really liked the main story. The missions even had some replayability with different characters. It's just not a full-price game to him. People should play the new Spider-Man Miles Morales instead of waiting for Spider-Man and the Avengers. It might turn itself around and he might be back in it later, just not right now. He is determined that it gets the Rowdy 5000's less than mediocre, but more like a meh award. But this game gets the official Lamer of the Week award for hopefully not destroying Square Enix. Ugh. All right, guys. It's time. So, it's time for us to find Lame Stradamus. So, we're asked to tell you about the future. Now, to do this, we need to find our good friend Lame Stradamus. This time, he wasn't in his normal location, so I followed a trail of discarded Slim Jim wrappers into the deep, dark depths of the swamps to find our good friend Lame Stradamus sitting upon an alligator snapping turtle that was dozing upon an alligator in the middle of a ditch next to a busy natural gas plant, because that's pretty much what it's like out here in Southeast Texas. So let's ask him what our good friend James at More Than a Podcast requested to learn regarding the future. Lame Stradamus, can you give us your wisdom?
Okay.
So, we have been asked to ask you, with all of the acquisitions and company strategies taking place, where do you forecast Sony will be versus Microsoft in the next 2.5 years? Will digital and or cloud gaming factor in the either company's growing success? Where does this leave Nintendo in the next year or two?
I believe that all these strategies. Sony will start selling Walkmans again. And Microsoft will probably sell cheese. Also, in the next 2 to 5 years, digital and cloud gaming, they will take over completely. I mean, it doesn't make literal sense, but we'll probably be able to do some things with wireless and who's its and what's its. Nintendo, however, the best toaster sells in the world. I mean, just fantastic toaster sells. They'll sell the best toasters.
All right, so that wasn't very helpful from Lame Stradamus. I think he's been in the swamps too long. So I'm going to tell you my my thoughts on this, because Lame Stradamus is having a day. All right, guys, so I think it's going to be an interesting fight between Sony and Microsoft in the next 2 to 5 years. Digital and cloud gaming are going to be a net benefit for Microsoft because of the Azure servers. That is one thing that I think is key to this question. The thing is, Sony can go to somebody else to run the backbone for their cloud structure. They have to go to Amazon, or they have to go to Microsoft, which is like, or they have to go to Google. That's who they have to go to. Microsoft can go in-house. Now, on the balance sheets, you know, Microsoft essentially pays itself, but Microsoft is going to have it easier right there. I think you're going to see a larger footprint for the Xbox and homes. I think the price of the Xbox Series S is going to be helpful, but at the same time, Sony is coming out swinging. They have made a lot of smart moves that have made somebody like me, an avid Nintendo gamer, really look at them again. Now, where does this leave Nintendo? Well, Nintendo's making a lot of money right now. Where they could run into some problems is cloud gaming. Now, they are pushing cloud gaming to Xbox gamers pretty majorly right now with xCloud, and I think it's actually turning into a popular thing. They've also included on-screen controls. This will probably be a pretty much a net positive for Microsoft, but you know how signal is. Even in these places with that fancy 5G signal, it is not always good. If you have at home, you have an excellent connection. There's still inherent lag with cloud gaming. I don't think there's a way around this. It's just part of what is in that system. You won't be playing this as your main system, but your kids might. And it might be worth it for, you know, if it's cheaper to go that route, you know, get your kid an xCloud subscription for pretty cheap with Game Pass. And you don't have to buy them any games other than spending like 10 or 15 bucks a month. I think that's really smart. Now, Sony, I'm curious what they do. I feel like they have to compete in some form or fashion in the future on that level. And I'm not really familiar with it. This might be a question for Rowdy next week to ask him, you know, where does he think this goes? Because Lamestradamus was useless today. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. I think, though, I'm seeing Nintendo, you know, just kind of going back to Nintendo. I'm seeing Nintendo really start getting their feet wet in cloud gaming. We just saw that with Control, and I think that's a, you know, a good control, a good a concept of what it's going to do and how it's going to work on the Switch. Now, the Switch does have some inherent issues with that. The Wi-Fi on the Switch is kind of lackluster, to be honest. From what I understand, a lot of people really need to use that LAN adapter, which goes through USB. There's a couple different things going through there that could cause issues, but I've heard some good and bad on Control. I really need to look into that. But I think Nintendo is playing around with this concept. But really, I don't see anything competing on the same level as Nintendo when it comes to hybrid consoles right now. There's some talk that there's going to be an Xbox Y or something ridiculous like that. That will plug into the back of a TV and just be a streaming system, but it's still tethered to good internet signal. There's something that is freeing about the Nintendo Switch that you can just play anywhere. You can go on a plane with it. You're not reliant on good internet signal. That I think, while these things in cloud gaming are a net positive to a larger subscription model, they're not the main thing. Just like what you're seeing with Uplay right now. It's a benefit to have Luna, you know, that's Amazon Luna, and Ubisoft Uplay work together, but most people aren't going to play it that way. Most people are going to just get Uplay and play those games from their system because they're going to be much better, much smoother. So that's my thought. I think we're going to see Microsoft do a little bit better than expected in the future just because their ecosystem is really coming together well. And I see a lot of people really enjoying Game Pass. I think Sony's going to do something like that, but I think they're going to either reach out to Amazon or Google in the end. It really depends on who they go to that will determine this in how they compete. I think that's going to be an interesting fight in the future. This is a fantastic question from James at More Than a Podcast. All right, guys, this is one of the shorter casts. We will be back next week. We will be playing. I'm going to play Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I'll give you my impressions on that. Rowdy 5000 has been playing Watch Dogs Legion. And he's going to have bug snacks, guys. Just get ready. He's going to talk about bug snacks in his weenie hands, okay? So Just be ready for Rowdy and Bugsnax. I'm dreading the text messages. Because if you listen to the podcast or see us on Twitter, he messages me Bugsnax pictures like every other day. So he was also going to get something else. I just don't remember what it is. But he'll talk to you about all those PlayStation 5 things. And hopefully I'll have an Xbox Series X. I don't think I'm going to get it just yet. I think I'm going to order online and probably won't see it until after I record the podcast. All right, guys. Thank y'all for hanging with us. I know we have been not very good at being consistent. It's been a rough year, and you know it. Everybody knows it. I do want to say this, though. I've seen a lot of people lately that I think are struggling. This year has been a rough year. And I've seen a lot of our podcasting friends that I know do better numbers than us disappear lately. If you just happen to be listening, and this isn't pointed directly at anybody, because I've seen it throughout. And I just want to say, you know, if you're a listener, if you are a creator, y'all keep going, man. Take a break for a while. Social media is a terrible place sometimes. If you are creative, if you have any plans for the future, if you are just struggling with school and you're having a hard time keeping up because you're not used to doing that yourself, maybe work is just terrible, or maybe you're looking for a new job or something like that, man, take a break if you have to, but don't give up. Get up, keep swinging. I don't know if you needed to hear that. I know sometimes I need to hear that. That's how I feel right now. Don't lose that fighting spirit. It's okay to take a break, but you knock out life as much as you can. All right, guys, that is it for me. I will see y'all, or you will hear from me next week with Rowdy 5000 on the Lamer Gamers Podcast.